Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We begin here at 6 with breaking news on WRAL. There are some major backups on I-540 in Raleigh because of a crash. Troopers say a flatbed truck carrying a forklift and a load of bricks overturned on 540 near Creedmoor Road. You see that video right there into our newsroom in the last few minutes. Highway Patrol also says the driver was hurt and is believed to have been driving impaired. Right now, two of three lanes there are closed. An alert says that closure could last until 8 o'clock tonight. So you want to keep that in mind as you're heading out for your Sunday night plans. WRAL has a crew on the way to the scene to gather some more information there. Raleigh police officers are searching for the person responsible for a shooting that injured a teenage girl. That shooting happened this morning at a condo complex off Parkland Drive. That's just off North Raleigh Boulevard and just inside the Beltline. WRAL's Laura Levine spoke with neighbors there.
Raleigh police spent several hours here at Parkland Condominiums investigating the shooting that injured a teenager. I spoke with several people who live in this community. They tell me it's pretty disturbing to learn that more and more young people are getting hurt.
Just before 7 o'clock this morning, gunshots went off.
I think it's sad. It's a sad situation we have to live in. Every time you turn around, somebody's getting shot.
Janice Andrews was getting ready to start her normal Sunday routine, surprised to step outside and see crime scene tape and police cars blocking the parking lot.
Because if I had known that, I may not have come out to go to church this morning because, you know, you just never know.
Neighbors tell me the girl hit by gunfire was 16 years old. Police have not identified her, but say she is expected to be okay.
How disturbing is that for you to know that it happened so close to home?
It's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling, but I believe the Lord is covering me, so I have to keep going.
Seth Collins was actually here helping his brother move out when he saw all of this.
Pulling up is just like, man, we just hoping that it's not, you know, somebody that's in our family.
And many neighbors I spoke with are thankful a life was not lost, but they tell me more needs to be done to prevent days like this.
Gun control situation is critical. And we need to do more. We need to do more to make people safe.
I do feel like we're coming together more as a people, even though we do have these kind of situations that happen, you know, but I think we do have to focus a lot as well on a lot of the good things that's happening as well.
While the details around the shooting are still unclear, Oliver believes the community needs to be willing to speak up about the issues happening around them if they want to see true change.
Just continue to, you know, be vocal about it and for us to not be afraid to stand up and talk about things.
Raleigh Police is asking anyone with any information about the shooting that happened here this morning to give them a call. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
An earthquake shook parts of western North Carolina this morning. This is a map that shows exactly where that is. You can see out there in the mountains of the western part of the state. The epicenter there was in the town of Canton. That's about 20 miles west of Asheville. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake registered a magnitude 3.2. This is the fifth and strongest quake in just that area in the last 2 weeks. The WRAL breaking news tracker was on the scene of a house fire in Wake Forest this afternoon. This is some video shot at a home on Jones Dairy Road. And we have reached out to fire officials there for more information. We'll have an update as soon as we hear back. One man is in critical condition after a shooting early this morning in Goldsboro. This happened on North Alpha Court shortly before 6 o'clock. Police say they found 39-year-old Clarence Smith of Goldsboro with multiple gunshot wounds. So far, there are no reports of an arrest. An 18-year-old is accused of assaulting a school employee in Johnston County. The Johnston County Sheriff's Office confirms deputies arrested Ethan Garcia Contrera on May 31st. He's facing several charges, including assaulting a school employee and having weapons on an educational property. The Sheriff's Office says Garcia Contrera was released on bond that same day. Well, it's that time of the year again. We see black bears in places we might not expect them. The latest sightings along a busy highway near neighborhoods in Chapel Hill. That's where WRAL's Monica Casey is live after talking with an expert about why we're seeing more of these bears out and about, and more importantly, what you can do to keep them away from you, Monica.
Well, Chapel Hill police have reported two bear sightings over the last two nights, and we've heard about even more from our WREL viewers. One sighting was here at the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Blossom Lane here in Chapel Hill. A viewer sent us another video from the Rigsby Mobile Homes Park of a bear at dawn today. She says she's never seen one in that area. Wildlife biologist Greg Batts tells me these bears are juvenile males that have been kicked out of their family unit to avoid inbreeding. These 18-month-old bears are searching for their new habitat, and that's why you may see them in unexpected places like your neighborhood.
They don't want to be there, but they're just wandering around looking for a place to live. In the last 2 weeks, we've had reports all over Raleigh. I've had reports north of 540 at Six Forks. I've had reports south of Pool Road in southeast Raleigh.
Bat says it's important to be aware of where these bears are. You can see here they've also been sighted in Garner and Fuquay Arena in the last couple of weeks. You should never feed or approach a bear, and don't leave food, even pet food, outside. Now, he also recommends removing your bird feeder if bears are active in your area, and you should also make sure to clean and properly store your grills.
Yeah, because they want to come and get food there. So keep your grills away. Monica Casey, live in Chapel Hill for us. Thank you, Monica. Two men are now wanted in connection to a murder in Fayetteville that happened back in April. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office says it is looking for Glenn Tedder II, pictured on the left there, and Joshua McAgee. Investigators want to question them in the shooting of 33-year-old Timothy Shannon. Shannon was found shot near King Charles Road nearly 2 months ago. He died at the hospital from his injuries. Authorities are asking anyone with information about where those suspects are to call police. An inmate at the Chatham County Detention Center died early this morning. Officials tell us 19-year-old Jamarian Sellers was found unresponsive by his roommate shortly after midnight. They say he was seen sleeping in his cell during a routine check. The 19-year-old had been in custody there since April 28th. The cause of death was not released. President Biden and the First Lady will visit North Carolina this week. Their first stop on Friday will be Rocky Mount, where the Bidens plan to discuss how their Investing in America agenda is preparing students for good-paying jobs both in North Carolina and nationwide. Then it's on to Fort Liberty, just 1 week after the Army Post's historic renaming ceremony. The Bidens will meet with service members and their families there and talk about joining forces. That's the First Lady's project to support military and veteran families, caregivers, and survivors. President Biden's visit comes as many Republican presidential candidates are heading to our state as well. Former President Donald Trump, along with rival candidates Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence, are all going to be in Greensboro for the North Carolina GOP convention. DeSantis will speak at the Old North State dinner Friday night. Pence will address a luncheon Saturday, and then Trump speaks at the Grand Old Party dinner that night. Of course, WREL News will have comprehensive coverage of all these visits. June is LGBTQ Pride Month, and there was a celebration today in downtown Raleigh. People gathered at the Pride Party at the Heights House Hotel on South Boylan Avenue this afternoon. The celebration featured drag entertainers, a live DJ, a specialty parlor bar, and food trucks there to enjoy. And so many more Pride Month events are happening in the weeks ahead here in the Triangle and all across the country. With a rise in hate crimes against the LGBTQ community, safety at these events is a top concern. That's why the social justice group Western States Center released a guide for keeping these Pride celebrations safe. We spoke with the group's director of programs, Lindsay Schubiner, this afternoon, and she tells us that one important strategy to avoid is to avoid confrontations if anti-LGBTQ protesters show up.
We really recommend not engaging and instead, you know, walking away, removing yourself from the situation, especially because we've seen, you know, there are anti-democracy and bigoted actors there who will try to, you know, create sort of gotcha moments on video that they can then use to increase targeting and harassment and gain support for their bigotry.
The Protecting Pride Organizing Guide is free to download at westernstatescenter.org. We now have a winner in the $1 million championship game at the soccer tournament in Cary. Newtown Pride FC from Connecticut scored the prize-winning goal to beat SLC FC from Canada. They were the final teams left out of the 32 that started the competition in this four-day winner-takes-all tournament at Wake Med Soccer Park. Organizers of this first-of-its-kind tournament tell WREL attendance and ticket sales exceeded expectations. We will have highlights from that championship match a little later in sports. A crowd gathered in Durham Central Park today to raise awareness about food insecurity. This was the city's second World Hunger Day event. The free event was a lot of fun, but it also shared an important goal, making sure healthy food is available for everyone in every community for generations to come.
Trying to think about how do we support our young people in making sure they have the food that they need, but also kind of setting them on a path towards being able to take care of themselves and their families in the future.
The event included food trucks, giveaways, free snacks, a bounce house you see there, and live entertainment. A big fundraiser is underway right now in Raleigh. Coming up, what the golf tournament benefits and why one entire family volunteers their time to help out there. Plus, the V Foundation 30th Anniversary Gala was a huge success. We'll tell you how much money it raised for cancer research here in North Carolina. Anthony.
And Matt, it certainly has been a relatively cooler end to the weekend. We see temperatures right now near 70 for most of our viewing area. We'll talk about here after the break when we could get close to the 90-degree mark once again here in just a few minutes.
Welcome back. A change is coming to one of the longest-running shows in American television, NBC's Meet the Press. The moderator, host Chuck Todd, is stepping down after 9 years on the show.
Well, today is not my final show. This is going to be my final summer here at Meet the Press. It's been an amazing, nearly decade-long run. I'm pretty, really proud of what this team and I have built over the last decade, and frankly, the last 15-plus years that I've been here at NBC, which also includes my time as political director. I've loved so much of this job, helping to explain America to Washington and explain Washington to America.
NBC News' co-chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker will succeed Todd when he leaves the show in September. Meet the Press airs every Sunday here on WRAL at 10 a.m. This year, the Rex Hospital Open became the UNC Health Championship presented by Stitch at Raleigh Country Club. It is the biggest fundraiser of the year to support patient care and services at UNC Rex Healthcare, and it's been underway this weekend with the help of a lot of volunteers, among them the Frazier family. Dad Charles, mom Dana, 16-year-old son Charles, 14-year-old son Kendall, and 12-year-old daughter Kimani were all out there helping on the number 8 hole today. Needless to say, this family loves some golf.
One day, I dream of them playing in this tournament. Kimani, Kendall, and Charles, one day. This is their start right now. Volunteer, play like a pro till you become a pro.
Seeing these professional golfers at their best, it really like tells me like more about the game. I like try to pay attention to their swings as much as I can, take as much information in as possible, and add it to my own swing so I can better my game.
I don't know. I saw some eye rolls there. They're like, Dad, you're putting too much pressure on us. No, this is the second year the entire Frazier family has volunteered there at the tournament. The V Foundation for Cancer Research is celebrating a successful fundraising event. The V Foundation's 30th anniversary gala raised $2.8 million for cancer research last night. The gala is hosted on the anniversary of Jim Valvano's memorable speech at the 1993 ESPYs, where he announced the creation of the foundation. Valvano, Jimmy V, of course, everyone knows him. He was head coach of the NC State men's basketball team and led the team to a national championship title in 1983. He died after a battle with cancer just 10 months after that famous speech at the ESPYs. We had some clouds out there today, Anthony. It kept us a little cooler.
Yeah, definitely. Most of us here even struggled to get into the 70s, Matt, this afternoon. The cloud cover is going to stick with us here, I think, as we head into tonight, but then some sunshine is back in the forecast for us tomorrow. We did manage to get at least some breaks in the cloud cover this afternoon, allow that sunshine to peek through just a little bit. This is a live look right now, our WRAL studio tower. This kind of sums up where we've been for most of this afternoon. Really low cloud cover here. You can see it just floating on through kind of the gray skies for most of us, and some some relatively cooler weather. What this is right now is it's what we call outflow, or clouds flowing out from the system that is currently down to the south. There is a center of low pressure, but you see that high pressure that's up to our north. That's going to continue to push in as we head into tomorrow. That will limit rain chances to start the week and also allow us to get some more sunshine, some clearing in the forecast tomorrow. We sit at 71 right now in Raleigh and Fayetteville, 69 in Southern Pines. Good evening to Roxborough, checking in at 68. So it's comfortable, but certainly cooler than where we were yesterday. We are going right back up, though, here into this upcoming week. Our normal high this time of year is 85. We're going to be at 82 tomorrow, a little bit below normal, but still right on par about where we should be. Tuesday, 87. We see temperatures mainly in the 80s this week. And then again, looking forward into next weekend, I have us getting close to that 90-degree mark on Sunday. So certainly here, that warm weather's not going anywhere. There is Futurecast. We continue to see the clouds here. We'll go for partly cloudy skies, I think, overnight tonight. Futurecast does show that potential for a light sprinkle here tomorrow morning. What I will say is I think it's a little bit overdone. We're going to have a lot of dry air in the atmosphere tomorrow morning, and Futurecast is not picking up on that. So I don't anticipate any issues here out the door tomorrow morning. We'll see partly cloudy skies through the day. Into the evening, though, there may be a passing shower, mainly between about 9 to 11 p.m. is going to be the time frame for that. Very hit or miss coverage. We're just going to watch that push on through. But if you hear some rain on the windshield tomorrow night, if you're out about driving or the window just at home, that's kind of what we're looking at. Temperatures tonight, though, this is going to be our other big story. Notice how cool it's going to be in some spots. Low 50s there. South Hill, Virginia, Rocky Mount, Goldsboro at 51. I think most of us around the triangle, low to mid 50s. So maybe a light jacket here, just depending on your comfort level tomorrow morning. We'll start off right about 55 at 6 a.m. 70 degrees, though, a quick warm up by the time we get to 10 a.m. No rain expected, should be a pretty nice start. And we'll see high temperatures tomorrow, warmer than today. Low 80s for most of us. We will see some sunshine returning. 83 there in Fayetteville, 82 in Clinton. This will not, though, come with much humidity. The next couple of days, despite being warm, if not hot there into Tuesday, it is going to still be pretty comfortable. Not off the charts humidity levels. It's still in that refreshing category, which is good. We're at 87 there on Tuesday. There's that slim chance of a shower Monday night into Tuesday. Again, there potentially Wednesday night into Thursday morning, but I'm liking this here. Looking ahead to next weekend, Matt, we still look like we're going to have some nice weather here. No rain expected at this point, so that's great.
Another weekend with no rain. We like it. Thank you. Well, let's head over to Casey Hintz with a look ahead at sports.
Yeah, well, it was a good day for the TST to wrap up all the action at Wake Med Soccer Park. See the goal that was worth $1 million plus. It was a shocker in the NCAA baseball tournament. Charlotte Downs, number 4, Clemson to advance to just their second ever regional final. But how'd the teams closer to home fare? I'll tell you next. Well, the TST got off to a little bit of a bumpy start Thursday with the allegations of a racial slur, but thanks to John Mugar, the tournament CEO, the players, and of course all the fans, the rest of the TST delivered thrilling action. And Pat Welter was at today's championship and shows us how one team walked away with $1 million and what the future holds for TST.
And then there were two. Newtown Pride FC of Connecticut taking on Canada's SLC FC. Yeah! The TST's finest emerging from a field of 32 after 72 hours of soccer.
I'm really pleased, and the rest of our team's really pleased with how everything's gone. Obviously, this is the first time we've ever put on this version of this sport.
CEO and founder John Mugar modeling the tournament after the success of his basketball tournament with the $1 million prize.
I thought the format was really awesome. I thought having all the different fields and the accessibility, I mean, on some of the fields, you could really walk right up to the pitch and stand there and be a foot away from a really awesome player.
The finale provided plenty of high-stakes chances. Finally, with 5 minutes to go in regulation, Newtown's Gabriel Costa scored a goal. The target score format made for thrilling finishes all weekend. Kelvin Nunez delivering the winner for Newtown Pride FC.
I play a lot of championship in high level, but this goal means a lot for me. You know, I'm just happy, man.
CEO John Mugar physically signed and handed the players their checks. Question is, will he sign on to bring the TST back to Cary? He told me after a debrief they will start having that conversation. As for the money, I asked Newtown's Will Eske what he's going to do with it. He said, save it, Casey.
That's a pretty good idea, Pat. All righty. Well, in the opening game of the Columbia Regional, States took down Campbell 5-1. That was, of course, on Friday. And the Camels offense, boy, they were MIA, but they found it yesterday, and the Humps kept it rolling early and often today. Let's get you out to Founders Park, where by early and often, I mean just five pitches in, Jared Belbin demolishes home run number 21 on the season. Boy, that man's on a roll. It was 1-0 Camels. Better bundle up here because just four batters later, Drew Winters sends one high to right and off the wall for a two-run shot. Campbell would not look back from there, piling it on, chasing after starter Sam Highfill early. Meanwhile, for the Pack, yesterday it was two-out walks. The dagger today was summed up in the final two outs. Ground into a double play. Campbell since stayed home while the Camels in South Carolina are just getting underway in the regional final. Head coach Justin Hare spoke briefly before tonight's game.
And they you can't say enough about our pitching and defense today. Certainly, offense getting off to a fast start is how we like it. And then pitchers coming in and putting up a ton of zeros. Just a great afternoon for us and really happy to be playing again tonight.
Let's head up to Terre Haute, North Carolina and Iowa. So we meet again. Tar Heels down 5-4 in the bottom of the ninth. Matt Horvath with the clutch bat absolutely destroys this one. The game-tying homer, his 24th of the season. That ties him for second most in Carolina single-season history. But we would need more than just extras in this one. Top of 13, Michael Seegers delivers the knockout punch with a deep shot that gets over Horvath. Corey Sarsfield soars in for the Hawkeyes. That puts an end to an up-and-down UNC season. Heels finish 36-24 on the season. Duke and East Carolina also, Matt, playing in their regional final. Right now, I'll have highlights tonight.
Thanks, Casey. We will see you at 11.